I've been busy as always. I've been in prison, and I do have a couple of things I'd like to tell you about quick before I preach. But last December, I was down in Elmore, Alabama, and I always give a Bible away to get the people to come into the service, you know. Whoever brings the most first-time visitors, I give them a study Bible. And that helps them, you know, bring inmates into the service, and they work to get that Bible. Anyway, I was taking the names, and I had them stand up. And this one guy that was sitting over here on the right, he says, well, the guy that invited me, his name is Duel. He says, he's back there being dealt with. And so I said, okay. So I took the other names, and I call out the name and have him stand up if you're a first-time visitor. Well, lo and behold, Duel, he won because he had the most that stood up. And he was in the back being dealt with, and he got saved. Well, he come out, he was coming back out, and I had to dismiss, and I called him over, and I told him, you won the Bible. And this is the good part. His first name was Duel, and I asked him what his last name was. And he said, Pope. The Pope got saved, and I gave him a King James Bible. How about that? Amen. And I was really excited here about 3 weeks ago. I was up in the Thunderdome in northwest Tennessee. They call it the Thunderdome because they have so much trouble up there. About 18 months ago, they had a gangster disciple get in front of a crypt at the canteen, and he jumped line. Well, he showed disrespect to that gang, and 28 men got stabbed on the compound that afternoon. Well, I'm up there, and I'm down in the lockdown, and I was talking to a Marine that was locked down. He was 41-year-old, and he knew the Lord, but he was locked down for having a weapon. He was a short guy, about that tall. And he had a shank. He says, well, you got to carry one around here. You got to protect yourself. He says, I was trained to kill, he says, but I will not, I don't want to do that, but I have to protect myself. And he said, it's rough sleeping at night because all night long you hear them grinding them on the floor, trying to get them sharp on the concrete. And after I got done talking with him, I moved over about four cells. And I got a chance. I've been saved now. I saved 25 years ago, December 16th of last year. And in 25 years, he's only the fourth Muslim I've ever been able to lead to the Lord. And I got a chance to lead my fourth one to the Lord in the Thunderdome. He's 41 years old. And praise the Lord. God had him ready. And I mean, that's great. They're hard to get to. They're very hard to get to. I wanted to share that with you. And I'd like to have you turn, if you've got your Bibles now, turn over to John chapter 19. And I'm gonna read a couple of verses here in John chapter 19. But first I'm gonna go to the throne of grace and ask God to help us. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, Lord God. We just ask you to meet with us in a special way, Father. Help me to bring forth your word with power and might, Lord God. But most of all, let it fall upon receptive ears, Lord. Grant me clarity of thought, clarity of speech, Lord God. Help me to do what you would have me to do. And help me, like I say, Lord, and most of all, make the hearer receptive to your word, and all the glory and honor that comes from it, Father, we give unto thee. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. According to John 19:1, then Pilate, therefore, took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers planted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe, and he said, Hail, King of the Jews. And they smote him with their hands. You know, they mocked our Savior. They smote him with their hands. And Pilate therefore went forth again, and he saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. By the way, that's the title of the message. I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth wearing a crown of thorns and a purple robe, and Pilate said unto them, Behold the man. And when the chief priests thereof, therefore, and the officers saw him, they cried, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. Pilate said unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. notice some, we're going to notice some things here, or some things that find no fault in Christ. Number one, his Father found no fault in. In Matthew 17:5, he said, "While ye yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, the voice of the cloud which said, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him.'" Why will men not hear him? Why will men not hear the Lord? I think it's got something to do with that name Lord, for starters, because Lord means owner. And he didn't only say he was owner, he said he was Lord of lords. That means he's owner of owners, amen? And man just does not want to humble himself before somebody. And the Father, he said, "Hear ye, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." He found no fault in his Son. How can we find fault in him? How can the world find fault in him? His friends found no fault in him. According to John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ done for us on the cross at Calvary. He laid down his life for his friends. And verse number 14, it says, "Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." See, a lot of people got a problem with this book. They think it's a book of suggestions, but it's not. It's a book of commands. And henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I call you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known to you. Right here. He's made it known to us in these 66 books. Praise God that we've got them beautiful words in there. That's a 66-page love letter to you and I. And you know something, sir, ma'am, young people, if you're sitting here today and you don't know him as your Lord and personal Savior, you cannot claim one word in here. Because it's not wrote to you. It's wrote to the saved. That's who it's wrote to. But yet that word the Holy Spirit takes and pierces the hearts of the lost and brings them to the Son of God. And they get saved. But yes, no greater love has anybody than to do what he done for us. And in John, 1 John 5:3 says, "And ye know that he was manifest to take away our sins, and in him was no sin." He was totally sinless, but he took all our sins upon himself. "For he hath made him sin to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Wow. How can you find fault with that? Huh? You can't. I mean, he done everything for us. He done everything possible for us. His friends found no fault with him. I'll tell you who else found no fault with him. His foes found no fault with him. And even Pilate found no fault in him. Look at, I just give you a few verses here in John 18:37. "Pilate therefore said unto him, 'Art thou the king of the Jews?' Jesus answered and saith, 'That I am king.' To this, thou sayest that I am king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth me." If they don't hear him, they're not of the truth. Amen. In verse number 38, "Pilate saith unto him, 'What is truth?'" Pilate is looking right into the eyes of Jesus Christ. He's looking into the eyes of truth, and he says, "What's truth?" Wow. Huh? "And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and said unto him," get this, "I find in him no fault at all. Pilate therefore went forth again," in John 19:4, "and saith unto him, 'Behold, I bring him forth to you that ye may know that I find no fault in him.'" Even Pilate, one of his foes, found no fault in him. Even Judas found no fault in him. Matthew 27:3, he says there, Judas says, "Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself, and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, I have sinned, and I have betrayed innocent blood. He said he betrayed innocent blood, and they said unto him, what is this to us? See thou to it. Wow. He sure didn't get any help from the religious leaders of that day. About as much help as you get from a religious leader today that don't know the Lord, huh? Second verse, same as the first, amen? You better believe it. He thought, you know, he'd have been much further ahead to take them 30 pieces of silver, forget the temple, forget the priests, and go to Golgotha, where Jesus was hanging on the cross, throw them 30 pieces of silver down and beg Jesus' forgiveness, and I believe he would have forgave them. Because Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. He most certainly would have. I believe it with all my heart. But Judas himself, he found no fault with him. He went back and tried to give the money back. Even the thief on the cross found no fault with him. In Luke 23:39-43, and one of the malefactors were hanging railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. And the other answered and rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing amiss. So right there, the thief, he found no fault in him. He says, he's done nothing amiss. The next verse says, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto you, unto thee, today thou shalt be in paradise. See that thief, he didn't rail on him, and he got what he wanted, you know, and Church of Christ ought to check that one out too, because he didn't come down off of that cross to get baptized. It's not in the tub, it's in the blood, my friend. Amen. That's where the salvation is. It's in the blood. That's all there is to it. His followers, down through the years, and I personally find no fault in him. You know, in Psalms 119, 128, it says, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things, and I hate every false way. And I do. I hate every false way. I believe everything in this book. I can't say as I understand it all, but I know I believe it. Because let God be true and every man a liar. God can't lie. So I know, hey, Scripture came not in old times by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. He directed their hand. And is not all Scripture given by the inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness? Amen. What part about all don't we understand? Little word, but true. All. Every bit of it is truth. Amen. Next I got here in John 1:29, it says, Behold the Lamb of God. See, the next day, Jesus coming unto him, and he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. That was the most pivotal statement that was ever made by a man. He pointed out God's Messiah. There he is. He's the one that takes away the sins of the world. And the people standing around, they should have picked up on what John said. You know, and believed it. And isn't it amazing what God does? Oh, just amazing. But here, I find no fault in him. He is reconciling of the sovereign here in Galatians 1:20, and have made peace through his blood of the cross. By him to reconcile all things unto himself, and by him I say, whether they be things in heaven or things in earth. And the remission of our sins. In Hebrews 9:27, it said almost all things, or 9:22, excuse me, almost all things are by the law purged with blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Now, we know that God's word is true because it's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even dividing asunder soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Did you ever wonder why you put joints and marrow in there? I got to looking at that one time and I thought, wow, joints and marrow, what's going on there? Why? Well, he tells you a little bit about it in Leviticus 17:11. He says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. I give it to you on the altar to make an atonement for your soul. For the blood, make an atonement for your soul. The blood is made in the marrow of your bone. The life comes right down, the word in the Lord, his life comes right down to your very existence, right down to your very being, right down to the joints and the marrow, the inner part of your bone. Without that, if you don't have any marrow in your bone, you ain't going to have no blood. And, you know, you realize over there in Leviticus 17:11, our first president of the United States of America, George Washington, the modern day witch doctors bled to death. They did. To get the impurities out of them, with the Bible sitting on a nightstand next to them and Leviticus saying the life of the flesh is in the blood. If the life's in the blood, what in the world are you draining it out of them for? Huh? Oh, well. They say they're practicing medicine. Well, I'll tell you, I wish they'd get it perfected, don't you? Amen. Also, the releasing from Satan here I've gotten, John 8:36, and the Son, therefore, shall make thee free, ye shall be free indeed. Verse 26, in 2 Timothy 2:26, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, whom takes them captive at his will. See, if you don't belong to the Lord, you get taken captive at your will, at his will. How about that? You got that armament over in Ephesians, don't you? You ever read about that? That's all for fighting now. You're supposed to have the truth. You're supposed to have the breastplate. That protects the heart, the breastplate of righteousness. You're supposed to have the gospel of peace that you're supposed to spread. Okay. And the shield of faith. But most of all, the helmet of salvation. Why is that so important? That's where the battlefield is. It's in the mind. Pastor mentioned something about that in Sunday school. Your thoughts. But the devil, he can inject thoughts toward your mind, but he can't read it. But God can read your mind. That's a pretty scary thing. I'm sure glad you can't read my mind and I can't read yours. Amen. Because if you be honest with me, we've all had a bunch of trash go through that thing. But I believe it's either 5:11 or 8:11 in Ezekiel. It says every thought that goes through your mind, God knows. He knows them all. But the devil, see, that's how we got to fight him. No, we got to fight him with the Word of God. We're no match for him. Come on now. The strongest angel in heaven over in the book of, over in the book of Jude over there, when he was disputing over the body of Moses with the devil, he dares not bring a railing accusation, but he says, the Lord rebuked thee. Why did he say the Lord rebuked thee? Because the Lord is the Word. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things that were made by him. Without him was anything made that was made, and that includes this book. That includes me and you. That includes that nice ice and sweet we're getting out there this morning. Well, thank God for it. Amen. You going to get some syrup so we can have snow cones, brother? Amen. But I find no fault in him. I find no fault in his redemption. I find no fault in his representation. None whatsoever. As our representative, he's our high priest. Yes, he was. He was appointed by a sovereign choice. In Genesis 14:18, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was priest of the Most High God. The Lord has sworn, and I will not repent, in Psalms 110:04, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek was mentioned 2 times in the Old Testament, but if you missed it, it was mentioned 9 times in the New. And, as he saith, also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Hebrew origin of that word Melchizedek means king of right, king of royalty. You couldn't get any better than that. That's our Savior. He is king of right and he is king of royalty. He's king of kings and lord of lords. Yes, he is. Praise God. He's the best, amen. And the Lord has sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. He was appointed by sovereign choice. He was approved by scriptural credentials. In Matthew 5:17, think not that I came to destroy the law of the prophets. I have not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. See, the Word tells us everything about Him. He thinks an awful lot about His Word, according to, Psalms 138, verse 2. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. He's elevated his word up here above his name. He thinks a lot about that word. And he said he would protect that word. He told you and I, what was that over there in that model prayer? Ain't that over there in Matthew, 6, 9, and 10? He said, pray after this manner, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Get this word, in, in earth as it is, in heaven. What's in earth? What's in heaven that he wants in earth? You'll find it in Psalms 119:89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. He wants it settled right here in your heart, my heart, and everybody's heart. This is the motor manual to life. This is what mankind needs to follow. God's word. I could burn every public library to the ground. And if I burn them to the ground and replaced it with this one book, this world would be a zillion times better off. You can't beat that book. That is better than sliced bread, my friend. That's the best. That's all there is to it. That is good stuff right there. Well, that word, you know, he said he would keep it. He says, thy words are pure words of silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. And Psalms 12, 6 and 7, Isaiah 40, verse 8, said, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, the word of our God shall stand forever. Matthew 5, 18, tell us one jot or one tittle shall no wise pass, and the law will all be fulfilled. Hebrews 4, 12, told you it's quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing, dividing asunder soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It cuts through everything. It'll cut you, it'll cut me just as quick as it'll cut you, my friend. But it's good stuff. It's very good stuff. I love it. You know, the world, they told me I was an alcoholic. I wasn't an alcoholic. I was a stinking drunk. They said I was addicted to alcohol. I wasn't addicted to alcohol. But when I got saved, I sure got addicted to this book. I got to have it. And I want it every day. Every day. And I'll tell you something about it. Just like I tell them old boys in prison, you will never OD on this. You'll never overdose on the Word of God. You can't get enough of it. It's good for you. But boy, sometimes when you try and give it to them, it reminds me when I was a little kid going to nursery school and kindergarten and that, and they used to come at you and grab you by your nose and stick that teaspoon of castor oil down your throat. You know what I'm talking about. That's what they act like when you try to tell them about the Word of God. You'd think you're trying to give them castor oil. My word. I don't know. But I find no fault in it. I find no fault in this representation whatsoever. Behold our King in John 9:14. And it was a Sabbath day and Jesus made clay and he opened the eyes. Only King Jesus could open the eyes of the blind. Nobody else could do it. Nobody else could open his eyes. Therefore I find no fault in that either. He was a sovereign, he has sovereign rights. He was the creator of us all. In John 1:1 through 3. And you know, people often get offended at the word there in Psalms 119:165. It says, great peace of they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Nothing shall offend us. If we get offended when the preacher preaches and he's preaching the word of God, guess what? The problem ain't with the word of God and it ain't with the preacher. It's with the receiver. They need to get something right because they got something wrong. Amen. He has scriptural rights because he bought us. He bought us off the auction block of sin, according to 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know ye not that your body is not the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not of your own? For you were bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your bodies and in your spirit, which are God's. He wants surrendered rights also, and he deserves them. For what he done for us. Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He wants us to humble. Everybody to humble herself. All right. Christ is the supreme example. Hey, did he not humble himself and go to the cross? Totally sinless. Christ is the very nature of God. Christ emptied himself and became a man. He emptied himself and became a man. Can you imagine that? In Philippians 2:8, and being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You remember when he was in the garden and he was praying? And he said, Father, You can take this cup from me, but nevertheless, not my will be done, but thy will be done. He was obedient even unto death. And he's our example. I think he wants us to be obedient too. I know he does. Amen. I know he does. Just picture what was involved there at his death at the cross. Christ humbled himself to come out of the spiritual realm into the eternal world or dimension, however you want to say it, into the physical and the corruptible world in order to die. Jesus Christ not only humbled himself and became a servant of man, he humbled himself to suffer the ultimate degree of humiliation. Jesus Christ became sin for man. He died as their sin before the just wrath of God. See, he has the right. He has the spiritual right, the surrendered right. And again, I want to go on record to say that I find no fault in him as a redeemer, my representative and my ruler. He's my redeemer because he bought me. He bought me off the auction block of sin. And he bought you if you belong to him. He represents me because he sits at the right hand of the Father. He's my advocate. And he rules me and every man, whether they want to believe it or not. Let me put this to you a different way. Friend, we got a recall notice. The maker of all human beings, God, is recalling all units manufactured, regardless of year or make, due to a serious defect in the primary and central component of the heart. This is due to a major malfunction in the original prototype codename Adam and Eve, resulting in a reproduction of the same defect in all subsequent units. This defect has been termed subsequential internal non-morality, or commonly known as sin, as it is primarily expressed. Now, some of the symptoms of sin include this. Number one, loss of direction. People wander to and fro in this old life. Two, foul vocal admissions. They'll curse anyone and everything, and the very one that's given them the breath to do the cursing. They got amnesia of origin. They forget that they were made in the image of God. They have lack of peace and joy. And the reason they have it is because it comes from God to start with. And if you're not his child, you can't have it. That's why man's got this big hole in him. He keeps trying to fill it with things, toys, everything, you know. You've seen them things on these trucks. He who's got the most toys wins? No, I don't think so. Another symptom of sin here is selfish and violent behavior. Everyone doing what's right in his own eyes. Depression and confusion in the mental component. Apart from God, man has no stability. None whatsoever. Fearfulness. They worry about the past. Hey, there's nothing you can do about yesterday. It's already gone. What are you worrying about tomorrow for? It ain't even here yet. What you got to deal with is today. Today is the day of salvation, the Bible says. That's the only thing you've got. You don't know whether you're going to wake up tomorrow morning or not. Neither do I. Who knows what's going to happen? And then they also have fearfulness. They worry about the past, like I say. They are very idolatrous. They worship any man-made idol. And any man-made idol is anything you put between you and God. I don't care what it is. You name it, it's there. It's an idol. It don't have to be a fancy statue. It can be a boat and a motor. It can be a gun. It can be a fish pole. It can be a bow and arrow. I don't want to leave you ladies out. It could be Walmart. Huh? Yeah. You know, I mean, it can be anything that you get between you and God. And you're letting it take precedence over God. You can't do that. See, What that all boils down to is 1 Samuel 15:23, rebellion. Rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. When you rebel against God, you refuse, you reject, you revolt, you relinquish, you renounce, you rebel against God and His Word. That's what you do. Now, the repair technician Jesus has most graciously offered to repair the bear the entire burden of the staggering cost of these repairs. There is no additional fee required. The number to call for the repair is area code PRAYER or Jeremiah 33:3. Call on me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. That's God's 911, by the way. Okay, now. Next, what you got to do is when you're connected, once you're connected, please upload the burden of sin through the repentance procedure. Next, download the atonement from the repair technician Jesus into the heart component. No matter how big or small the sin defect is, Jesus will replace it with these things right here. Love equals love one for another. Joy, unspeakable and more abundantly. Peace beyond measure. Patience, you'll listen, you'll learn about the love, the things of God. Kindness, goodness of heart, tenderness and compassion. Faithfulness, He'll give you loyalty, consistency, reliability and dependability. Goodness of heart, sympathy, compassion, unselfish, consideration. Gentle, He'll teach you to be meek, mild, tolerant, self-control. He'll give you self-discipline, willpower, and self-restraint. Please see the operating manual, the BIBLE, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, amen, for further details on the use of the applications of these fixes. Consult the manual with an open heart and an open mind. Warning, continue to operate the human being unit without correction voids the manufacturer's warranty, exposing the unit to dangers and problems too numerous to list, and will result in a human unit being permanently impounded. For free emergency service, call on Jesus. There's another danger here. The human unit being, the human being units not responding to the recall will have to be scrapped in the furnace. The sin defect will not be permitted to enter heaven. It will not be able to permitted to enter heaven as to prevent the contamination of that facility. Thank you for your attention. God, P.S., please assist where possible notifying others of this important recall. This is where soul winning comes into play. Amen. You may contact the Father anytime by an email. And you will never be put on hold and never be played music you never wanted to hear in the first place. Amen. Now you either bow now or bow later, but you're going to bow. According to Philippians 2:10, it says that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. That covers it all. So will you bow? Verse number 11. And that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Do it now or do it later, but you will do it. You'll either do it here or you'll do it at the white throne and be cast into outer darkness where there's wailing and gnashing of teeth. And I don't care if you've got false choppers and don't have a tooth in your head. They're going to be provided because I believe every word in this book. He said there'll be wailing and gnashing of teeth. You see why he's going to do that? Is because over in John 3:3, he says, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. God sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is a condemnation. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light. That's why God's going to throw them into outer darkness. You wanted darkness here on this earth? I am going to give you an eternity of it, God said. That's all there is to it. Now, God's thoughts toward us, as I'm closing here, In Jeremiah 29:11 it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." So let me put it to you another way. "For I know the plan that I have for you, declare the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Will you come to Jesus Christ today that you might have hope and you might have a future? The choice is yours. My friend, you need to come to him because he lives. Jesus said, "I am," he didn't say a way, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." There is no other way than Jesus. "No man comes to the Father but by me," he said. You've got to come to him by Jesus. "Neither is there salvation in any other name. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved." That name is Jesus. And then he makes it very clear over there in Isaiah 1:18. He says, "Come now." He says, let's reason together. He says, "Come now, let's reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be white as that stuff outside, snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." He'll clean you up cleaner than any fuller. Right. Guys tell me, I need to do better. You'll never do better. Come as you are. Salvation is of the Lord. He put it out there. And believe me, that recall notice is in effect. I've never known anybody who's lived forever. I've never known anybody that had a U-Haul behind their casket. They're not taking nothing with them. They're leaving the same way they come, with nothing. They came with nothing, they're leaving with nothing. They ought to try and do what this book says while they're here. Because that's what we use. That is our 66-page love letter from God. You ought to love it. You ought to fall in love with it. He said, "If you love me, keep my commandments. Here's one, hide my word in your heart that you might not sin against me." He said we needed to be born again. I want to put it to you one more way quick. How's that going to happen? Well, 1 Peter 1:23, "Being born again, not a corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed of the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is grass, all the glory of man is a flower of grass. The grass falls, the grass withereth, the grass fadeth, withereth, falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and that is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." By the way, what's the gospel? It's the testimony of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You'll find it in 1 Corinthians 15:3-4. "For I deliver unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. He was buried, he rose again 3 days later according to the Scripture." That's what he done for us. That's what happened December 16th, 1992 over here in Franklin. On a job site, when I got on my knees in the middle of a bunch of broken tile on a bathroom floor, and I cried out to God, he saved me over there. And when I got up off that floor, I'm not ashamed to say I had tears running down my cheeks. The Bible don't say whomsoever cries. It don't say whomsoever laughs. It says whomsoever calls. I called, he answered, he saved me that day. I got up off that floor, I've never been the same since. Amen. People think I'm nuts. That's fine. I love it. We ain't going to talk too long, and you're going to find out who I love, because we're going to talk about my Savior. Pastor mentioned Perry this morning in Sunday school. Well, Perry, he come from California, and I'll tell you what God, how strange it is that God uses people. Perry grew up, and a lot of his friends were in the Hell's Angels in California. When I got saved and I met him that day, one of my hunting partners was Jimmy Duranzo. He was chapter leader of the Milwaukee Outlaws. His brother John was hung in a tree with, he OD'd on cocaine. His brother John was hung in a tree with his hands tied behind his back, and the law called that suicide. I went back to them people, and I told them about the Lord Jesus Christ, and they said, "He's nuts, he's crazy. Give him 2 weeks, he'll be doing the same thing." Well, it's been 25 years ago. And I told God, I said, "I want to serve you. I didn't start out right, but I want to finish right." And I said, "If I even think about going back to being the individual I used to be, just kill me before I become an embarrassment to you." And I meant it. I want to serve him. I want to finish right. I got saved that day. 28 days later, that lovely, beautiful lady back there, Bev, got saved. Pastor Brown led her to the Lord in the TV room of my house. God knew he had to save us close together. Been like putting a cat and a junkyard dog together. But God's good. Oh, he's good to us. Look at, here we are, all these years later, and I get to go in and serve the Most High God, the King Royal, in prison. People say, aren't you scared to go in prison? No, I'm not scared to go in prison. You go in there prayed up, you don't have a problem. I was down in Parchment, Mississippi, and an officer, I said, let me go in there. He said, I'm not going in there. Them guys are out. I said, I don't want you to go in there. I didn't ask you to go in there. I said, I want him to go in there with me. I don't want you. That tells me volumes how he's treating them when they're locked up, if he won't go in when they're out. I've never had a bit of problem with them. They know I'm not coming to hurt, I'm coming to help. That's why I'm coming here today. Just in case there's somebody here that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, my friend, is a day of salvation. Because you do not know when this recall notice is going to be instituted. You have no control over it. 9:27 of Hebrews says it's appointed on a man once to die, and after this the judgment. It don't say when. There was only one man that ever walked the face of this earth, Jesus Christ, who knew when. He was the only one. You and I don't. Pastor, you need to come up here. We're going to give you an invitation here and give you a chance to do business with the Lord. Maybe you don't know him today, and maybe you need to know him, or maybe you want to know him. If that be the case, don't let it hold you back. Just come. See, salvation is of the Lord. You've got to come when he calls, not when you think you can. Amen.